Hello, I'm Ed Larson. I need to tell you about my new documentary coming out called How America Killed My Mother. In 2016, my mother passed away suddenly from diabetes. Between the cost of medicine, overdraft fees from banks, credit cards, predatory casinos, we couldn't keep up. So I took the insurance money and I made this movie. How America Killed My Mother is available from October 2nd to November 5th for rental and purchase on Vimeo. Just go to howamericakilledmymother.com right now to watch.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the Lost Podcast.
On the left.
Side stories.
From your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
I know a lot of you guys think that Ben Kissel and I, detail-oriented...
Hyper-detail-oriented.
Data-driven managers of a media company. But
yeah.
I am going to shock you. Yeah, we're actually more broad strokes.
Broad strokes, yes.
Except you do know all of the fake politic numbers.
I watch C-SPAN. That's the real fake politic numbers.
But they just because say you get numbers.
You get to see them talking blah, blah, blah. And mostly, it's just them going through the red tape to even start talking. Because you got to say, sir, may I be allowed to speak? And then they say, after 18 lashes, you may speak, sir. And then the 18 lashes happen, and then you have to ask for permission to apologize for even requesting the idea to speak. American politics are very interesting.
A horrible nightmare that Kissel was boring me to death.
Whoa! The parliament's fun, though, because they beat each other up, but they're British and frail.
I like it because they got floppy wigs on and they yell at each other. That, to me, if you want to get me involved, that's how I get involved.
And you know why they do that? It's an adversarial system. So the main person, I think they're called the main twerp. They sit in the middle, and then the dueling parties face each other. So, in the U.S., they all face one side. I think
one party's
face
like,
them.
Don't they have like a party of nerds?
Yeah.
And then they got a party of dorks.
Yes.
And then they got a part of thin guys with big Adam's apples. Then they have like actual literal Nazis in there. Then they got the Italian like spaghetti junction. Don't they have a party in the UK called the spaghetti junction?
Yeah, the Mussolini heads.
There is so many things going on in parliamentary politics and politics continue just grinding on here as if it's just a big old sausage machine and just spurting out shreds of the American dream into big intestinal casings.
If I was made dictator, number one change, it's just the setting. I change the theater. They face each other. So then they have to scream at each other, look at each other's eyes, and we'll see who stands their ground.
I wish my president, honestly, if I were to even consider enjoying a president, anybody who likes a president is diseased. I think that if I were to enjoy a president, he would need to be
You would have loved Teddy Roosevelt. You would have loved Teddy Roosevelt because you love the same reason you love L. Ron Hubbard is because of the body shape.
You're talking about vision for the future. Teddy Roosevelt, I've actually read several biographies of him. He's a fun guy. He used to swim naked in the lake behind the White House. He used to climb trees and shit. I love this guy.
And there was a story one time where, and we'll start the show, by the way. This is the last podcast on the left. Side stories. Teddy Roosevelt also, he would do big game hunting, but he did not like to cheat. So somebody tied up a lion to a tree and he said, I will not shoot that lion. Untie said lion.
He let then it go 6 feet?
Then
yeah,
he
then
shot
he shot it in the fucking head. Well, I think that the president should be physically strong.
I agree.
I want to see, especially like, honestly, it'd be kind of fun to see a big, jacked woman president.
Sure.
Very tall, big buxom, smart as a...
Rhea Ripley, perhaps?
Like, I don't know who you're talking
American.
About.
She's not American. She's a wrestler, but she's not even American.
I'm just talking
too
about
young, I think.
Somebody with big gazongas and big legs, just physically strong, wrestling a bunch of tiny men.
You know what, buddy? I am here for it. In the future, you never know what it's going to bring.
You never know.
Speaking of the future, we have a lot of strange stories to get to today. One including Joe Montana in one of the weirdest stories we have ever covered, but also one of the stories where the people involved don't want to talk about what happened as much.
This is a weird little side story that popped up. Joe Montana's granddaughter was they stopped an attempted kidnapping inside of his mansion. And I have fucking clue. They're being a little tight-lipped because I think Joe Montana, being who he is, if for those of you who don't know, even I know who Joe Montana is, he's a very...
Four-time winning Super Bowl quarterback with the San Francisco 49ers.
He was born with that name. I don't think his name is like Joe Hinkelbaum. I think that he was born Joe Montana.
Did you ever think growing up that your last name, I used to always think this about Kissel, was just a guarantee you'd never be successful in sports.
Yes, I was told openly that Zebrowski, when I first got into show business, that Zebrowski was too ethnic to survive, which I think
now,
is really funny.
And now, of course, you're not ethnic enough, and you're not getting cast.
I'm not white, I'm Polish.
Yes, well, now,
Joe Montana claimed that this woman, Sadzai Dalzell, I don't know how to pronounce
nailed it,
kind of just walked into his house, and they came downstairs, they found her holding his grandchild that was in the bassinet. It walked in, it pulled the grandchild out of the crib, and she was just holding it and rocking it, and apparently Joe Montana and his wife, Jennifer, started to negotiate with this person. Eventually, Jennifer, his wife, Jennifer Montana, physically wrestled the child away from the woman.
Okay, so just set that scene. You're Joe Montana, you're upstairs cooking steaks. His wife, I don't know, she's doing something very fun with her yoga instructor. You walk downstairs, you see this woman holding your nine-month-old.
Asleep and good night.
You don't know if she has a knife in her back
pocket. Somebody left my grandson in somebody else's crib.
You're just wealthy in Malibu, and now you have to negotiate to get your baby back.
Tell me why I'm here and not in the cemetery.
Like, you have to deal with a Stephen King character.
So scary.
And I don't know where, and, you know, being a field general, he saw, using his vision, his cone of vision. I've seen you play Madden.
Of course, the cone of vision.
He saw it, and he click, 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 and he made, you know, he saw the way the runners were going. He saw the avenues and stuff, and he just walked in and fucking American elbowed this woman on the side of the head. I don't know if that's true.
That is not what happened. The sheriff department, this is according to their statement, they said a tussle ensued, and Mrs. Montana was able to safely pry the child
out
of the suspect's arms.
On Twitter, Joe Montana is going as Joseph Montana?
I don't know, buddy. Old people are weird on Twitter. The whole thing should be banned.
He does do the thing where he like signs it off like, love, Joe.
That's right.
Every time he tweets, it's that type of something. This is not a letter to your loved one in the Civil War. This is a destabilizing influence on the American economy and the government.
The woman is facing charges of kidnapping and burglary. Thankfully, nobody was injured during the incident, including the nine-month-old child. But what we really need to talk about here is Henry. Late fatherhood.
Well, that's his grandchild.
Are you sure?
That's his grandchild. Yes, he's got. They don't know which that he belongs to. He's got four kids. Looking this up. He's got four kids, and they're all kind of suitably like of age.
Oh yes, grandchild. Very good point. But still hard to be taking care of a nine-month-old at any age.
What are you talking about? He's fucking Joe Montana. Give him the rock.
He knows it's not a football. You can't throw the baby.
Yeah, you know he knows that there are certain rules in every. In every game, if you look at every situation you're in, like a new game, like a new sport, you know that there are certain regulations you got to follow. And now that you're Grandpa Montana, you can't necessarily spike that child when you cross the end zone of having a successful visit to the Sizzlers. R.I.P. Sizzlers.
What happened? I never even went to a Sizzlers. Are you telling me it died before I could go to see it?
Yep, it's down.
Really?
Yep, I guess the hush puppies carry COVID like extremely well.
I think the buffet business is really taking a hit.
I will not let it die. I will not let it die. I will sink whatever money it is that we make out of the last podcast venture into a series of satanic buffets.
Can you tell me why I've been struggling with the sneeze guard this entire time if the damn thing doesn't even stop COVID? I hate the sneeze guard. I'm always hitting my hand on it.
The sneeze guard was always there to make you feel emotionally
better.
But it
never worked.
No, of course not. It barely covered the food.
So
then, and when I sneezed when I was at the buffet, honestly, if you're a successful person, you take your shirt and you put the shirt over your nose and you just sneeze directly onto your body.
Oh, isn't that nice?
That's how I always protect myself and others.
Joe Montana did tweet out, because of course you take to Twitter when your grandchild is almost abducted. It is 2020 after all. He says, thank you to everyone who reached out. Scary situation, but thankful everybody is doing well. We appreciate respect for our privacy at this time.
And
leave
I just want to say,
alone.
I just want to say big ups to God for giving me the strength to continue and go and really, you know, make the connection I need to do. And I just want to say thank you to my teammate, Jennifer, who's my wife I have sex with. And she's been a great, wonderful part of the team. She's always there when I need to have sex, when I need to make a new chain of family. And I just want to really thank everybody involved.
Absolutely. And what a great, a lucky grandchild that is, other than nearly being abducted, which is just going to be a funny story in the future. you get to have Joe Montana as your grandfather. You can imagine how fun the cookouts are. He won four Super Bowls with the Niners, 82, 85,
they know Jerry Rice.
And they know Jerry Rice and 1990. Jerry Rice, the hardest working wide receiver in the history of the NFL. Not the most athletic and not the fastest, but you know what he was? Aggressive when it came to the off-season workout plan.
And you and I know.
That's what we do.
Our off-season workout plan, because right now we consider this entire year off-season. And we've really been getting down into the proper podcasting shape, which is my body is slowly becoming the... I'm filling the chair. And I think it's important to... Because my lungs are getting more cradled with what I'm calling plague meat.
I'm not going to lie to you. I had a nightmare about sitting on a plane recently. I'm not in plane weight. And for those that haven't traveled a lot, planes, even the biggest of seat, is not that large.
No, it is very uncomfortable for Kissel, except for that one time on the flight to Australia when you slept like a child who recently was given a breast filled with most delicious milk.
One could argue I took too many sleeping pills. Another would argue I slept 17 hours straight and the stewardess was absolutely impressed on that same trip to Australia. However, coming back from Perth, I broke a seat. I was forced to sit by the bathroom. I delayed the plane by an hour, and at the very end of the flight, they gave me a bottle of wine and said, "We're sorry."
That's so nice, Australia.
That was very nice. But it was me doing it, but they were so embarrassed for me.
Speaking of people that are too big to live, I want to talk about this story. That this is not really even a story. This is a historical thing that was brought to me.
Oh, okay.
That I am fascinated with. And
really?
It's the topic of the Potsdam Giants.
You think that we can cover a historical thing without Marcus? You think we're just going to do this?
Watch me try. This is comes from historyanswers.co.uk. God knows what's going on over there. Now, King Frederick William I of Prussia, he greatly expanded the size of the Prussian army from 38,000 to 83,000 men. Now, he became known as the Soldier King.
Wow.
And his military projects, they paved the way for his son, Frederick the Great, to turn Prussia from a relatively minor German kingdom into a great European power.
No, winner.
Lose it or winner. And a part of that was a strange obsession that King Frederick William I, his father, had with essentially something like eugenics.
Okay.
He loved huge soldiers.
Okay.
So he created this thing called the Grand Grenadiers of Potsdam. And they were universally known as the Potsdam Giants or Long Guys.
I feel like they just have soup ladles on their head and they're just hitting everybody with wooden spoons.
Look at this fucking guy.
Wow,
this is one of his biggest.
Outfit.
This tallest soldier was a man named James Kirkland. He was an Irishman who stood at 7'1". Right? And so this starts at like, oh, it was wonderful.
Okay, also, you can't see the photos, obviously, because this is a podcast, but the hat on this man is about the half the size of a red sausage. It's huge. It's like a foot-long hat.
He did it on purpose. He said each one had to be over 6 feet tall, and in some ways, the Giants, they were given exclusive treatment. They were given fine blue uniforms and like this cap, this very special grenadier cap.
They were being sent to die, by the way.
No, they ended up not being. There's a whole shit. Okay. A whole bunch of the grenadier cap that they were given was over 45 centimeters high to make them appear even taller. They were given excellent accommodations and ate the best food.
Oh.
Rates of pay were determined by height alone.
Now that is good because there is a thing called the tall tax. I pay extra for clothes. I pay extra for pants. I pay extra for shirts.
Yes.
I pay extra for seats. I pay extra for everything simply because I happen to be a warrior's size.
But it became a little bit of an intense situation.
Okay.
Because first the Giants were willingly participating and volunteering.
Human beings, yes.
Yes, yes. Yeah. But eventually they were being bred by him. By him, first of all, pairing
the... He was milking the Giants.
He was having the Giants be milked by huge women. Very, very tall women. So that started trying to build up just them naturally. Then he started purchasing them from families where they would go from town to town and newborn babies were marked with a bright red scarf for identification purposes if they were considered to become unusually tall.
Okay.
And then they would be given to the government.
So that's a bit of... that's sort of a variation of the slave trade, I suppose, in the Giant form.
This is the story. One of the biggest, this guy James Kirkland, how he got involved, he was measured 7'1" and 1", right? And they gave him this job, but they knew that the King of Prussia wanted this super huge guy and he was fucking thirsty for it.
So what, they made him like a waiter or something, knowing that the guy was going to go to the restaurant?
Essentially made him like a footman, like an assistant to this Baron Bork, the Russian ambassador to London. But in reality, the offer was a trap. Kirkland was then sent to a Prussian ship where he's like, just get on the ship, don't even worry about it, get on the ship.
How can he even fit on the ship? That's so uncomfortable. this poor bastard. I'm mad at Delta, and technically that's the highest advancement we've ever had in transportation.
They got him on the ship. They knocked him out. They tied him to a bed.
What is he, Gulliver?
Yep. And then they brought him in, and now he had his dress like this in this orange
uniform.
They
made him dress like a freaking, like a child, like one of these, like, Honey Boo Boo, yes, in some bizarre competition in South Dakota.
I can't get deep into this because I know there's so much involved in this. He just got murdered.
He got murdered. Yep. And so why do you feel like this is a fun story?
Well, they were used as entertainment for him eventually. They were so precious to him that they wouldn't even let them go into war. So he did, one according to the King of Prussia, according to the first,
the most beautiful girl or women in the world would be a matter of indifference to me, but tall soldiers, they are my weakness.
Okay, I cannot. So he just constantly dropped grapes on the floor and just been like, hey, Thurngard, yep, make sure you go and pick that up. Or, no, that's not how he sounded.
Boss.
That's really not how he sounded.
You
he could have been very articulate and very smart.
Okay.
And they were proceeding. He would make them do parades for him with deformed people, tall turbaned Moors with cymbals and trumpets grenadiers and mascots, and then they'd be followed by a big bear with cymbals tied to its hands.
I understand why the king thought that was fun. I get it. First of all, the bear, if the animal can't hold the cymbals by itself, that's animal cruelty. If the animal wanted to play the cymbal, that's great. Obviously, the bear didn't want to.
No.
Isn't the bear enough? Why do you have to have it clang-clanging down the street as well?
Well, if it ended up being really good at the cymbals and became the Michael Jackson of cymbal bears, then we'd see that maybe there is a place for child abuse.
Oh, right. Well, I got to say this. When it comes to the story, what I've picked up on, there's a long history of the tall man being sympathetic or being aligned with people who maybe have special needs or so, which is why tall people are very sympathetic and empathetic to individuals who might not be seen as normal by society. I went to see Elton John, for example. You know that story.
Yes, we all know. And you were put in the disabled section.
And I was put in the disabled section because I couldn't fit in the seats, and they were yelling, sit down, sit down. And I was like, I'm just trying to enjoy the show, sir.
Yes.
Me, a woman in a wheelchair, and a man with special needs. I got the woman in the wheelchair a large BL. We had a great time.
That's incredible.
And it was a great seat. Not quite as good as the one that I paid $700 for, but it was a seat indeed.
Fucking $700. But that was on a whim.
That was on a whim. Yep. Yeah, that was in Nashville. All right.
Where it got really notorious is that he tried to make his own tall people by getting his very favorite grenadiers and putting them on a constructed rack and trying to make them and stretching them until they're taller, and he just ended up killing a bunch of them.
Yeah, that sounds horrible. All right. Well, thank you for the history lesson. Definitely pulled it off in a way that, you know, we didn't have any good detail. Wide, broad strokes.
Broad strokes.
Broad strokes. Well, speaking of broad strokes, this story, we would be remiss if we didn't mention it this week. A woman, 911 is there for emergencies and emergencies only, right?
Yeah, but also somebody, what's cool about 911 is just on the other line. Let's say you're just some like lonely person.
It's not a sex line.
I'm just saying that right on the other line, you have a bunch of fucking barrel chested boys in blue and orange.
You think that's who 911 operators are? Barrel chested boys in blue and orange.
Sometimes, you know, it depends on if their name's like Bradley or something.
Well, that's definitely what this woman thought. This woman has been charged after calling 911 claiming, quote, her pussy was on fire.
Oh, that sounds like an emergency.
It does sound like an emergency, and it seems like she needs to get that pussy a little wet, if you know what I'm talking about.
No, she has technically, she would need to go to the doctor, and the doctor would just write WAP on the prescription, especially if it was an active fire.
I need the fire department, please, because my pussy's on fire!
So, apparently the woman was extremely horny, and
because her emergency service she asked for actually was legit, because she said that she needed them to come over with their hoses and put it out. That's a quote as well. And to be honest, it's the beginning of a penthouse letter, but you'd have to see a fireman on the street. I'm going to say this to you now. Honestly, girls, boys, don't attempt to not shoot your shot at firemen, because guess what? They will fuck you.
Yes, that's true.
It's not difficult to get a fireman to fuck you. They are the most horny civil service member. I think it's firemen.
I don't know if that's true.
Firemen, I bet you fucking DMV. You could probably eat a DMV worker's pussy for 45 minutes and they'll love it, right?
Well,
I
want to
say the next one is, I'm going to say what? What's a civil servant?
Someone who works at the polls, for example. We have the election coming up. A poll worker, they'll be tired that one day every 4 years they work.
Honestly, if you do see a poll worker, this is a good time to give a poll worker a hand job.
All right. The Port Clinton News Herald reported that the 50-year-old, her name is Katrina Morgan, she faces a felony charge of disrupting public services and a misdemeanor charge of making false alarms. Now, apparently her pussy was not in fact, on fire.
Because a fire, a physical fire, would be an emergency. But it sounds like she just wanted to be tag-teamed and covered in the slathery, foamy juice of a bunch of rugged men who are up all night. Yeah.
Well, maybe, and who knows how tall they would be. Additionally, Morgan asked if the fire department's hose was working and told the dispatcher, quote, she needed somebody to come put it out with their hose. So police say Morgan was at her friend's house when she called 911, and upon officers arriving, she became agitated after being told she was being arrested for making a false report. So,
But she did do that. You know what? I think some people are getting their streams crossed because of that show, 911, and you think being like, no, I hate to tell you this, Ryan Guzman is not coming. I know him personally. And he's not going to come to your house.
Brag.
Yeah, let me pick up that name I just dropped.
Well, several empty of bottles. Speaking of dropping, several empty bottles of booze were found at the residence. So they were just getting hammered. Morgan was eventually handcuffed, and the police tried to put her in the cruiser. She resisted, so they had to use the stun gun. So this whole day, I mean, honestly, if you are this chick, you are hammered. You call 911, being like, "My pussy's on fire." You end up getting stunned in the back of a cruiser.
Guess what?
Kind of got what you wanted.
Go hang out in front of the fire department.
That's what she wanted. She wanted them to come to her.
But I'm saying, if you want to go get dicked down by a fireman after you've had a couple of cocktails with your girlfriends, go to the fire station.
All women are beautiful. I'm just going to say this, though. When it comes to Miss Katrina, she's a selective taste. So maybe the firefighter that she was looking for, maybe he wouldn't be there. Maybe the firefighter she's looking for is retired, maybe in his 70s. Because if you're a 70-year-old retired firefighter, you look at her and you're like, that is a young, hot, smoking woman, literally puts you on fire.
Honestly, firemen could also really deserve, slip him $100. He'll fuck you.
Firefighters are not sex objects. This is not professional wrestling. This is not... you have a Chippendales version. You know firefighters actually work.
I know that, but they also sleep a lot, and they make a lot of food, and they josh around, and they slide up and down the poles, and they slap each other in the shower a lot.
Honestly, the idea of being a firefighter is like a boy's dream.
It is. It's a real hero.
It really is a hero.
You run into fires all the time. Everybody's swoons.
But the fun part is the chili.
That's
for us, the fun part.
You're talking about Fat Boy Firefighters, which is our new show coming to FXX this fall.
Can you eat yourself out of having to go fight the fire?
Yes.
Can you just be like, I'm the guy, I'm here for 3 days, I'll be cooking for you boys.
I saw a couple of guys trying to, at least. my father tried to eat his way out of being a cop, too. It's fun to do. Well, you can do it. Because eventually they just put you on, I think you might have to be physically able if you're driving the truck, but if you're filling out the paperwork, what does it matter? If you're a chef, if your nickname is like Old Bones, it's okay for you to be kind of fat.
I agree. By the way, I've been watching a great barbecue cooking competition show. It is on Netflix.
We've been talking about this, Grubbs.
Grubbs, I don't know what Grubbs is doing.
Grubbs, to be honest, Grubbs has got the attitude. He's got the heart, but I don't know if he's got the skill set.
I don't think that
but
he does.
Miss
he's
going Sylvie. Sausage.
Miss Sylvie's incredible. Ooh. If you haven't watched it, watch it. I'm not even, what is the name? The Great Barbecue
I couldn't tell you.
Bake Off or
it's,
something.
I just know it's my barbecue story that I watch on the Netflix.
Yeah, that's all we know about it. All right, well, speaking of stories, God knows cult leaders like to spin a few, don't they?
You know what it is? You know why I even funnily embrace L. Ron Hubbard, right? LRH, I understand.
I don't know if it's so funny anymore because you do have it on. You wait until the CD that you have of Dianetics gets stuck in your car and you can't get it out of your CD player. And it's just on repeat, and then you just become him.
I know that it's a little problematic, my connection to him, but I just kind of view him as inspiring. Somehow he has kept Scientology KSW for 60 years now. I mean, we'll see when he comes back. I want to say hello if he comes back.
Yeah.
But LRH, in my mind, he had a flair for showmanship, and he was self-aware enough that he knew how to properly manipulate people but also keep himself out of it until the very end.
True.
He really kind of fell apart. This guy that just got arrested is a cult leader who claims to be the reincarnation of Jesus Christ. He's arrested in Russia. This is a very interesting story that comes from Siberia, where a man named who went by the name of Vissarion, aka Sergey Troop, was just this guy. He used to be a traffic officer, literally used to be my dad.
So he used to be a
fired.
Traffic cop. Okay.
And then he decided, I'm Jesus Christ.
Okay, so this is my question. So there's a picture of this guy. He's got the long, the quintessential Christ-like
look.
He
looks
right?
like white Jesus.
Why?
But Jesus was not white.
Why do they all fall down this classic trope? We're watching the NXIVM documentary. By the way, I think it's the consensus of me and among most of my friends that every single person in that documentary is complicit, and they probably all need to be dealt with in some way or another.
They're all villains. I can't even watch the next episode. I'm sick of all of them fucking patting themselves on the back for how happy they are that they got out, even though when that Mark dude first heard his wife was getting her fucking pussy branded,
he
was like, maybe when you really think about like why your pussy's getting branded.
Mark is also like, I wasn't into the cult until I realized it was about math. Literally, it was about math to the degree
he
that
was
Keith Raniere is like, I've invented two forms of new math.
He just said it.
No evidence.
He just said it.
Anyway, Keith Raniere, he starts with, I'm on the cover of Forbes, nice, crop, tight haircut. Then he gets the long flowing locks. Why, Jared Leto, whatever that weird cult is that he has started,
Jared Leto
whether
looks
it be real
good
or not.
With the long hair, though.
Why, though, can't they think outside of the bun and not have the short hair? Why not? Or not have the long hair? Why not a bald messiah? Why not?
You're talking about LRH.
I'm not talking about LRH. Why do they always go down this cliche road when it comes to the look? Do people really, I mean, honestly, is there scientific study that say long, straight spaghetti hair is somehow more trustworthy than a chrome dome?
There's something about it because he looks like the fake version of Jesus Christ that we see of an already fake Jesus Christ. He just looks like the picture of it.
Yes.
So I think that there's something about packaging. I think that's what we learn from Scientology quite a bit, and also with NXIVM as well. The thing about NXIVM is that you have NXIVM was really the first proto like meta cult that included the joke of people call us a cult. Like they thought it was like really funny to absorb it, and now we see it constantly. There's all these like little like micro internet cults that now pop up quite a bit, done by like half nude millennial women that show their whole thing is like, we're a bit of a cult. And that NXIVM kind of started that trend. This guy is doing kind of old school, old Christian. I am the new version of Jesus Christ and everyone needs to listen to me. And it just seems to be, there wasn't a lot of information coming out. It was 200 church members. They lived in this place called the City of the Sun, which is a deep in the Siberian forests, far away from everyone. It looks like an elf community.
And you can imagine the amount of sunlight they get in deep Siberia. It must be beautiful there.
I mean, honestly, I don't know how they were growing vegetables.
No idea.
But it is it's a vegan environment. He wrote this thing called The Last Testament, which was basically saying that the world is going to end and we are the only people who are going to be saved. So
One full chapter just on vegan farts.
I mean, I can't imagine the Siberian vegan farts.
So Torop, a.k.a. Visceron, he lost his job as a traffic officer.
That's why I'm not working at the toll booth.
That's why.
I'm Jesus.
That makes a lot
of sense. It's a good swivel. It helps the ego.
It helped him. So now he did collect several thousands of followers as they've continued on. Visceron told The Guardian in 2002, quote,
I am not God. It is a mistake to see Jesus as God. But I am the living word of God the Father. Everything that God wants to say, he says to me.
So you're basically saying you are God. You're
so
saying
God
that you
is
are
speaking
God, but
to
you're
a
not,
fire traffic officer.
It is. I just don't understand. I just don't know. I don't know how people get. I don't understand how people get trapped, except for a fact.
But
like
what else was going on in Siberia? Honestly, though, if you are going to start a cult, the collapse of the Soviet Union, you have no money. This is a perfect place to start a cult.
You know why I think it might work is because you go to a community where it's kind of like I've always said this in my own way. Like if every single thing in my life fell to fucking pieces, right?
So everything's going great now.
Yes.
Okay.
Technically, yes.
Okay.
Things are going great.
Okay.
But if my whole life fell to pieces and I lost absolutely everything, I would go away and I would just go to some small town and join a church and pretend to believe in God and like fit into a community in order to have like community again because they help you out, right?
Right.
That's what people do to kind of game the system.
You know, this is recorded though, right? So they could go back and they could listen to this and be like, oh, he's just bilking us for money and he really doesn't need it.
They won't meet Henry Zebrowski. They will meet Thomas Sanderson, like whatever my new name is. But these people go to this little community where every single thing is taken care of, right? They don't have to worry about the day-to-day anymore.
I get it.
They just go and they give over all of their rights and they give all of their money and all of their possessions up to this super dinky honky Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And then they go and they dig up the rutabagas every day, and that's all they have to do every day. If you're a person that has high anxiety, or maybe uh-huh. your life has also fallen apart
sure.
at some point, or
this
you don't
know. This is
how they get you. You arrive in this community where they're all like, "Ah, so happy to see you." And then you don't understand until you get into the middle of it, especially if you're a woman, that you become a breeding factory.
Well, this is, of course, where the scam begins. You never see someone at the peak of their success or the peak of their life or the peak of their self-confidence. They never join the church or the cult. It is because these cults and these churches, it's not that they prey on broken people. It's a perfect storm. So just always remember that. And of course, naturally, if you don't join the cult or if you don't join religion, you will ultimately get better anyway. But then you get better.
Well, especially
and then you have
if you do your own work and you work
if you
on
do
yourself.
Do the work. But yeah. Anyway, Visceron claimed Jesus was watching over the people from an orbit close to Earth. Very nice, very close. And that the Virgin Mary was, quote, running Russia. Didn't do a very good job. Because the Soviet Union collapsed. So I don't think the Virgin Mary should really be a leader, but there you go.
Nothing makes me more thrilled than seeing cult leaders in jail. Like seeing them, like, look how defeated and sad
this,
he looks in the fucking sweats.
But doesn't complete the circle?
In
don't
my,
they
I
have
mean, of
to
course.
Go to jail?
Well, that's what we've been saying also for all of our different cult series that we've covered all of the years, is about how you confirm their persecution complex.
Right.
By... yeah, closing the loop.
The
but you have to close the loop.
True.
Eventually, you have to come close the loop because these people are just going missing into the middle of the forest and all of their money is gone. And eventually,
right.
some of these people's families, I imagine, are like, where's my son?
Do you really imagine that, though?
I think so.
Yeah, that's true. The only insight I have in Serbia is from the documentary World's Toughest Prisons. So maybe I don't have the greatest insight into what the actual people of Serbia think, but
I
God
know.
Knows those prisons are really tough, though. By the way,
there is one good thing you could probably look up too. I don't have any other information but this. There has been a rash of Asian star, like TV stars, legit
this is
stars,
crazy
that have committed suicide over the last like week or so. Like it is very, very strange.
I feel like we hear these stories all the time with pop stars over in Asia, in China, where they get disappeared around 26 or 27.
Japanese actor Sei Asina was found dead in her Tokyo apartment on Monday. Her management company confirmed they believed it was a suicide. This happened on Monday last week.
Okay.
Then also on Monday was a Korean actor, Oh In-hye, also died. They believe that it was a drug overdose. And then Alien Huang, who's a Taiwanese singer, actor, and media personality, he was also known as Huang Hongsheng, was found unresponsive on the floor of his apartment by his father on Wednesday morning
they
of last
are,
week.
And they all share the commonality of celebrity at a very young age. Celebrity is still a relatively new phenomenon. This is my understanding. Obviously, in Asian culture, standing out, being a star, that's not exactly as accepted or as rewarded as we are here,
it's
as it
weird.
Is here.
Well, they have way more of a, from what I understand, I actually, the person
and again,
to speak
side story
to,
is lpotl@gmail.com. If you have any insight into this, not from a descendant of the Germans and a descendant of the Polish, let us know what you think as far as that goes, that conversation.
Please, honestly, explain what we get wrong, because I'm very interested in this topic, because we've talked about earlier last year, there was a rash of parasocial relationships gone wrong, like the idea of fan to follower, like bleeding, and followers were killing several people, like that one young girl that was like an e-girl that got murdered
yes,
by
yes.
the dude that she was talking to online.
Oof,
there was a couple of those
brutal.
Back and forth. And this is another one where it's like, are they just getting worked to death? Because I know in Korea,
right.
they are very, they have, like the way where BTS came out, like that band BTS,
yes.
they kind of come from like pop star school.
It's basically if Ron Perlman, that's the man who started NSYNC, I believe Backstreet Boys. He was behind the boy band phenomenon of the mid-90s.
Mm.
He was horrible. He stole all their money, ended up incarcerated, and God knows what else he did. It would be like if he actually had government power.
Yes.
Because all of these things, keep in mind, they don't have independent networks. My understanding, again, side stories, LPOT.
We have no clue. You tell us.
But my understanding is most of the entertainment is government funded. So a lot of these pop stars are actually more getting paid by the government. And a lot of the things that we have here, our main export, and we talk about it all the time, is entertainment.
Yeah.
And that's one of the areas where the Japanese and the South Koreans specifically have really been trying to shine and sort of propagate their social beliefs via entertainment. We've been doing it forever. And so it's really intense.
When Civ 6, that's a culture war. So the idea maybe, is that you're trying to win a culture war by trying to imprint people with your ideas.
Exactly. So maybe these people, maybe these entertainers got out of line or something. I don't know. But it is strange to think of three celebrities of roughly, like, when you think about it, it would be like,
they're all like Heath early, Ledger, it's a matter of, it's from like 25 to 36 is the age range. And I just wonder if it is straight up corruption, or is it just the grind
also,
of
who's
being
funding,
a superstar over there?
We know Wolf of Wall Street. Who the hell is funding a lot of these projects too?
I don't know.
And it would be like, this story is literally like if Heath Ledger died, but then Ryan Gosling died 2 days later, and then Jake Gyllenhaal
stop
died.
Stop it!
I'm not even saying it. I'm not saying it. It did not happen.
Don't you dare!
It's very sad. R.I.P. Heath forever. But that's how big this story is, and it's just so unique. Anyway, this is a story just for me. A man has died after eating a bag and a half of licorice every day. So be careful,
this
Henry.
Not me. Marcus Parks.
Oh my God, this is Marcus. Don't even say that.
He likes licorice.
He loves all of the candy, but he doesn't eat much of it.
I know.
He does not eat a bag and a half.
Wait, the way I've seen, when I've gone into his hotel room after a night, you and I, all night.
Beers, we got vodka, we got joints.
Screaming at each other all night. Don't see Marcus all night. Go into his hotel room, filled with candy wrappers.
Candies I've never seen before.
Yeah, don't know what they are. All like, Monster Crunch.
Hellbees or whatever.
Yeah, and Gribsons, all his weird British bullshit that people keep sending him. And then they open up, it's just one wrapper, because he told me he opens up one candy at a time and he takes one bite.
One bite, and small bite. It is, it's perverse. It is somebody who I think
obviously
would make,
these are two fats accusing a skinny of food crumbs.
He's a toffee. He's thin on the outside, fat on the inside. I think we all know that. Anyway, it is dangerous what Marcus is doing, and we'll have to add to his
pressure on his mind. Yeah, absolutely.
We're never going to mention this to him. A Massachusetts construction worker. He loved black licorice, which is interesting. Not my flavor, but that's okay. He ate a bag and a half every day.
Every day. Well, it's supposed to heal. It's actually supposed to be good if you have an upset stomach. So he might have uncontrolled like grit or something that he wasn't taking care of.
That must have been like when we were in Ireland and we had the Guinness poops, which just comes out as extra Guinness. So apparently this threw his nutrients out of whack, and it caused the 54-year-old man's heart to stop.
Jesus Christ.
This is according to Neil Butala, a cardiologist at the Massachusetts General
Hospital.
How
sad is this in the age of a pandemic that you just get killed by licorice?
He says, or she says, Dr. Neil, N-E-E-L, says, even a small amount of licorice you eat can increase your blood pressure a little bit.
What?
Did not know that.
I thought licorice was like neutral.
I thought black licorice was healthier than red licorice. I don't know. I'm a Red Vines guy. It can cause a dangerously low potassium and imbalances in other minerals.
Eat a banana.
I don't know. Eating as little as 2 ounces of black licorice a day for 2 weeks could cause a heart rhythm problem.
What?
Especially for folks over 40.
What?
Yes, indeed. So
this is like a controlled substance?
It's crazy. This is according to Dr. Robert Eckel. He's over there at the University of Colorado. He says it's more than licorice sticks. It could be jelly beans, licorice teas, a lot of things over the counter. Even some beers, like Belgian beers, have this compound in it.
Whoa.
So be very careful. You might think you're living a pure life just eating your candy every now and again.
I have my licorice every night.
Be careful.
But, to be honest, I've always been anti-licorice, so I'm fine with this.
Do you know where this guy collapsed?
Where?
Do you think, what do you think would be the saddest place to find out that you collapsed?
Where, like, if I was dead and then you told me afterwards where I was found?
Yeah, like, where did they find you?
The bathroom of a Hardee's.
Close. He collapsed while having lunch at a fast food restaurant.
Chris.
So, very sad.
Well, he was eating something else.
I know.
Man, someone should have told him to get, like, because now they do, and they shame you at the fast food places, because now they're like an app, instead of getting fries, I'll have the side of apples, please.
Oh, everyone loves a hamburger. hamburger and apples.
Oh yeah, that's what I think of every day, because I'm a 36-year-old man with the mind of an 11-year-old.
I love apples. Thank you. Emergency responders did CPR, and he was revived. However, the licorice was too strong. He died the next day.
Did they pump the licorice out of his stomach and save it?
I don't know. It was like when Jenny McCarthy gave CPR to the guy in basketball when the hot dog just comes in and out of his mouth.
Yeah, I remember.
That's a funny movie.
Man,
there.
She was a hot tamale in that film, huh?
She still is, although...
I don't care if she's crazy.
Oh, I don't really care. I mean, she's definitely driving that one guy completely insane, but he's insane anyway.
So. Yeah, you are signing up for that. You know she's crazy.
So Jeff Beckman, of course, he works with he's a spokesman for the Hershey Company, which makes the popular Twizzlers licorice twists. He says all of our products are safe to eat and formulated in full compliance with FDA regulations. He says...
people to not be afraid of licorice.
He just says everything should be enjoyed in moderation. Indeed. So anyway, if you didn't have a phobia of licorice, you can add that right there. You can just put that right in your brain, and a new phobia has been born today. So.
But yeah, you know, it's like one day, eggs are bad for you. Oh, next day, eggs are good for you.
I don't want to talk about the egg that had my mother manic. It had every house mother in the 90s manic. Eggs, every week, Oprah would tell us something different, and I still don't know the freaking answer.
Meanwhile, you know, then Oprah was being fucking inflated and deflated, and I gotta listen to you about eggs all day?
I can't believe
it. I'm sitting here reading your fucking egg magazine, Oprah?
I remember what Oprah
did.
Holy
shit, get out of my kitchen, Oprah!
Funniest Oprah episode ever. I know she needs the plug. But she used to do an annual show where she would give away stuff. She would give away cars, cruises. Yeah. She did one show they did where they said, we're not giving away anything. We're donating all of the gifts we were going to give you to charity. And then people were so mad.
Silence.
They almost rioted.
Yep.
So
here's another story that is going to, I imagine, unfold deeper into the future. Brittany and Armando Barron. New Hampshire man forced wife to behead lover. This is a very intense story. A New Hampshire man and his wife have been arrested and charged with the murder of the wife's lover. This comes from Heavy.com.
Okay.
According to Keene Sentinel, 30-year-old Armando Barron had discovered that his wife, 31-year-old Brittany Barron, was having an affair with 25-year-old Jonathan Amaralt on December 19th, 2020, after going through her phone. So you got to understand, this isn't, you know... To people in couples out there, to people dating right now, to people dating during quarantine, especially during quarantine, it's got to be tough. If you look on your partner's phone and you find something you don't want, I'm going to say a little bit, that's on you.
I have just heard, and I'm not sure if this is 100% true, perhaps it's more for Top Hat, but this is about privacy. We had Joe Toscano on last week's Top Hat, Automating Humanity from The Social Dilemma. Check it out. Apparently, the police you don't have a Fifth Amendment right. You're not protected from your thumbprint. So if the cops are like, open your phone, they can take your thumb, put it on there, but you can't put in the password. That's illegal. It's
that's
very
true,
weird.
But you can also, there's another workaround with the face recognition too. Is that if you don't look at it, or if you pluck your eyeballs out.
Whoa. So I've also heard of spouses taking their partner's thumb as they sleep, opening up their phone that way.
What is this,
scary?
A fucking Mission Impossible movie?
It's insane. If you don't trust your partner that much, I don't know.
Have a conversation. So Armando Barron, this is when it goes off the deep end, which I can understand.
He's mad, sure.
He's gone insane. I'm not going to say that I think that he knew right from wrong, but he definitely had a moment. I'm going to say a bit of a Monday moment.
You are a little too sympathetic for this.
I'm really not. It's just, he just went so over the top that it's like, once you go into supervillain world,
right,
then it's like, it takes a chorus of people going, whoa, buddy.
At first I am sympathetic. I said, that's really sad. I'm so sad.
But it's not sad what happened.
Armando, that's really sad that your wife cheated on you. Let's go have some beers. Let's talk about it.
Sure. That's when the sympathy ends.
Right.
Armando Barron, he lured his wife's lover to Annett State Forest in Ringe in southern New Hampshire using her cell phone. Think about this shit, too. Again.
So he's got to fake it.
You know that you're fucking, you're fucking a girl that is married, right? And
right.
You know he's got a husband. And then all of a sudden you get some like random text being like, hee, baby, wouldn't it be fun if we fucked down deep in the woods?
And the camera just zooms out and it's Armando's face.
Yeah, I'm going like beaten off just thinking about it. So you get this, and so you text, and you know, you're used to being a fuck boy. So you look at this text, you're like, all right, I'll fuck on a log. All of a sudden, Amaralton arrived. He shows up. Baron jumps up from behind a tree, assaults him.
Oh, no.
Baron then ordered his wife to shoot Emerald, but she said no.
What is
however,
this, mice and men?
This is insane. He's like, shoot him, bitch, shoot him. And then she says no. However, she capitulated when he ordered her to slit Emerald's wrists, which I honestly think is almost worse.
So she said no to the simple death of being shot in the head.
And
you're
then
gone.
Made him cut, but I imagine they were light cuts, and she's probably crying and stuff. And he grabbed her, and he's like trying to make her cut, but then he just shot him in the head.
Yeah.
Right? Baron shot him, then shot him in his chest twice.
Okay.
Then once in the head. The Baron then took Emerald's car and drove him to a campsite in northern New Hampshire, stopping on the way to buy lighter fluid, household cleaner, tarps, and a shovel. And
oh,
I'm going
to
say
this
right now.
Did they go to the serial killer store?
They did, but I'm going to say right now, if you are cleaning up a body, here's a free tip. Buy some, like, bag of Snickers and, like, a gallon of milk or something just to throw them off.
And just say, like, oh, can't wait to go to this family reunion.
I got to dress a deer tonight. Just say that out loud, and legally you're not culpable.
They literally bought everything
that
you would
you
buy
need.
in a badly, poorly written script.
It was at the campsite that he then ordered his wife to decapitate Emerald's head from his body and bury his head and body separate. According to the affidavit, Armando Baron ordered her to do this so Emerald's identity couldn't be identified by dental records.
Oh my God, they're so... This man obviously is not kept up with any modern science or any modern technology.
This guy's still upset.
Yeah, I see.
I don't think he's doing a lot of deep planning here. He then demanded his wife to text her friends and say that she would be leaving for a while to clear her head. And then he just left her in the woods with two guns and say, all right, you just stay here.
Oh,
and he
right.
said he was going to return a week later to come get her.
Oh, well, now what was she going to do for that week? She was going to go. I don't know. Yeah, she might have turned into a bit of a... Into a bit of a creature there. So,
but then they found her, and then according to the Sentinel, two hunters saw Britton Baron at the campsite multiple times in the days following Emerald's killing, and they didn't see. You know, they said, "Hey, you can't be here."
Yeah. So please
and she
say
kept
that
doing it.
She was alone at the campsite, and armed. Near her was a large object covered by a tarp and covered with sticks and branches. And this is what she's told the officers when they arrive. She says, "I'm in big trouble." Which I do believe is an accurate way to
she was
to
totally
say that.
To be honest, she was forced. He beat her very badly before it even began. He beat her. He had total physical control, and this guy went fucking crazy.
Yes, he did. He's a total scumbag, and obviously, probably Miss Brittany Baron. Probably this relationship was abusive, and perhaps that's why she.
That's why she was cheating. Obviously, was trying to get the because sometimes people cheat just to fucking find a way to get the hell out.
Yeah, Armando, not good. Brittany Baron told police that she burned the belongings of her boyfriend and wiped down his car and was waiting for her husband to return. He was heading to the campsite with their 9-year-old daughter.
Jeez.
And dirt and concrete. Really, just that story is so much sadder with the 9-year-old.
It's so scary. It's a scary story.
The couple is set to be arraigned Friday with Armando in the Cheshire Supreme Court, or Superior Court, rather, and Brittany in the Coo Superior Court. If this story is, if it holds up as it sounds, I feel like this woman was a bit under duress. When this man was killed, and we'll see what happens with the courts there.
And I will say straight up again, if you are a part of it, you are stuck in quarantine with somebody who's very, very dangerous, this is the time to maybe try to figure out how to reach out. And I could put right here the hotline for the National Domestic Violence Hotline. Like, honestly, if you are in the middle, like, sometimes you need the fucking the kick in the butt, you dial 1-800-799-7233.
All right.
But that's a fucking wild story. But, you know, that's obviously going to pan out. But
we'll see.
Just take a it's hard, man. Being cheated on is rough. But honestly, especially if you're a fucking piece of shit, I'm certain it's going to be revealed that he was a piece of shit up until this point.
I would think so. And even if he wasn't, the reaction, of course, is far, far too intense. Flip it. Make it a cuck situation. Have a little fun. Why not?
Ugh.
Brittany Baron's attorney, Richard Guerrero, says there is no reason to deprive this woman who is presumed to be innocent of her freedom at this point. He goes on to say she had no idea what else he was going to do. So we shall see, and we can follow that story, as a matter of fact. And who knows how that is going to turn out. All right. Well, I think it's about time for Hero of the Week.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't even know which one to choose. So, Henry, I'm going to let you choose. The landmine, you know about this rat.
Well, the landmine rat did his job.
Very cute. Okay, so there was a rat. It was sent out to detect landmines, which apparently are all over the UK. Did not know that.
Well, we left them behind.
So the 7-year-old giant African pouched rat on Friday was awarded a British veterinary charity's top civilian award for animal bravery after sniffing out unexploded landmines in Cambodia. Interesting. Hmm. In addition to 39 landmines, the heroic rodent discovered 28 other items. It was across 1.5 million square feet since he was trained by Apapo, a Belgian charity that works with programs in Angola, Zimbabwe, and Mozambique. So isn't that cute? He's a hero rat, and he's super
cute. This is an opportunity to do like a dark version of like Ratatouille.
I am so happy with that idea. I had a rat in my Brooklyn apartment. They are so brutal.
But like,
they
imagine
don't
like
die. They're mean.
Doing like a dark animated film about a rat. Like it's like essentially Ratatouille meets Hurt Locker.
Ooh, I like that idea. That's really what this would be. The PDSA head, Jan McLaughlin, said, "The work of the Hero Rat Magua and Apapo is truly unique and outstanding. Hero Rat Magua's work directly saves and changes the lives of men, women, and children who are impacted by these landmines." So thank you, Hero Rat. We also have a story of MTA workers. Speaking of subway rats, for some reason, I just want to make MTA workers heroes of the week. It was discovered right below Grand Central tracks.
I mean, honestly, they are on the front lines of all of this bullshit always in
now,
New York.
Yes, of course. So apparently they had created a bit of a man cave down there. It had a microwave. It had a refrigerator.
Travis had a lot of problems with us calling it a man cave just because it was underground. And he said it's more of a break room.
Travis Morningstar, of course, finding a way to be critical. Very intriguing. So the investigators found wooden cabinets that appeared to be specifically designed to conceal the TV and futon, along with a pullout couch. Cot sitting just outside the room.
That's cute as hell.
And a half-empty beer sat in the fridge. So MTA workers, just for being you, you get Hero of the Week. And then this week,
I can even read this off from here because...
Yes, our listener email and hero have sort of combined.
Yes, I'm just going to do this letter from the listeners because we did a whole episode of them last week and we're going to be doing a fuck ton of listener pastas at the end of the month. Send them to sidestories@gmail.com, please, because we're getting spooky this month. We want to hear your shit. And I love the stories that are closer to being real than not.
Yes.
To be honest. But this is a story that's a real hero. This is we got reached out for somebody who works at a place called Vehicles for Change, a nonprofit based in Halethorpe, Maryland. In Halethorpe, Maryland, I know I said that incorrect.
It's got to be close.
Halethorpe, it's almost Baltimore. Since 1999, we have been empowering families with financial challenges to achieve personal and economic independence through vehicle ownership and technical job training.
That is so crucial. Vehicles, we forget, we take it for granted. If you don't have a car, you don't get to go to work. This is a really important thing.
Especially in a place that doesn't have like an extensive mass transit program. The long and short of it is that what we do is we take in donated vehicles, fix them up in our auto repair training program, Full Circle, which is so they train people to work on cars, which is incredibly important, then award those vehicles to hardworking families referred to us by social service organizations. We've awarded over 6,000 subsidized vehicles. 75% of those recipients report increasing their yearly earnings by $7,500 $7,500 within 12 months.
Nice.
It's really, really cool. This is...
What's the name of the organization again?
It is called Vehicles for Change.
Okay.
Our auto repair training program, Full Circle, serves men and women who have had an interest in the field who have had faced barriers in their education. 91% of our Full Circle graduates are formerly incarcerated citizens. 100% are placed in full-time positions, and less than 2% have returned to prison.
Oh, that is incredible. Great work. Those are the stories we need to highlight as well. And we didn't get $20 million to call it good news, did we? Remember that? When Ryan, what's his
name? You know, I don't even think that show's coming out.
I think
that after the fallout from that, and then he just took that
John
money
Krasinski,
and ran.
But it was
anyway. Difficult. It's hard to just sell the concept of good news.
Yes. Vehicles for change. So yeah, support but, yeah, this nonprofit.
We at VFC need support from the community now more than ever. If we want to help manage the economic fallout brought on by the pandemic, the vast majority of the vehicles we award actually come in as tax deductible donations, and the pandemic has been a hard challenge for many nonprofits, which is true, which is why we're doing every Saturday, Haunt Your House, twitch.tv/lastpodcastnetwork. We come and watch us host a hangout, watching horror movies all October, trying to keep it spooky, but also we're trying to raise money for various charities. The first one is hashtag Be an Arts Hero, which is more, it's not fully a charity, but it's an organization that is working towards generating legislature to help the theaters across the country that have been destroyed by the pandemic. These are people that are really trying to help anybody within the performing world on all sides of it, because theater, as you know, it is going to be drastically different in a couple of months. And, you know, and I'm talking about comedy clubs, bars where there are performances, anything. Like, we are really fucked.
You know, when you think about theater, you think fancy boys and the girls on stage. But the people that make these theaters run are just working class folks who it is so funny.
Actors don't make a lot of money. People that work in the theater, people that work on all of these levels of theater don't make a lot of money.
So we need to help out all the working class people out there putting all these things together. And yes, as Henry said, we will be helping out a different charity every single week, and as well we'll be haunting your home, which is going to be super exciting.
It's something to do on a Saturday and gets us drunk on the inside, and you're gonna see us be as spooky as possible, trying to keep it spooky all month.
Can we say what the first movie is?
Yes, we're doing it is their first hosts are the hosts of Last Podcast on the Left with our significant others. Each one of us.
Puffin and Jerry.
Yep. And we will be watching the movie White Zombie.
Woo! This movie is classic.
It's been a long time since. Yes. I love Bela Lugosi.
Oh, he is the best. See, and he was tall. So.
Oh, he was viewed as very attractive.
Yes, and he was, wasn't he?
He is, you know.
All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening.
You got to live every day knowing you get up tomorrow, man. October begins. So at least we got October.
It starts tomorrow.
2 days?
I don't know.
No, tomorrow. It's tomorrow.
Amazing to me that we're in October, honestly.
Live your October life. There's some people that don't keep it spooky, but you know what? Keep spooky working. KSW this October.
Technically, this is the month where COVID is cool. We're in a pandemic. What?
Not really, because it destroyed all of our plants.
Right.
Sure. I want you to love. All right, love knowing that we are carrying the black flame of Halloween deep inside. And yes, it's difficult to really just subject it onto people like we normally do. Mm-hmm. Each October, but now the goal is to project it from behind the mask.
Whatever and just that means.
Laugh outside your window maniacally once a day.
Honestly, do that.
To keep your neighbors on their toes.
And then if people yell at you, you can say that you're doing it for essential workers.
Yep.
Yes, indeed. They used to do that in Brooklyn. They used to just bang a bunch of pots and pans at 7 p.m. when all the nurses got off work.
And they're probably my head hurts. I've been working all day.
I don't know if it really worked, but it was a good sentiment. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations, everyone.
Hail me.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, tall fighters out there. Thank you all for the tall fighters. That is Henry Zebrowski saying that. So very nice of you, Henry.
I didn't say that.
No, okay.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.